Hear now the word of the Lord coming from the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 11 through 20. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness and arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth, but remember the Lord your God, for it is God who gives you power to get wealth, so that God may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. If you do not forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to serve and worship them. If you do forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord is destroying before you, so shall you perish because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and worthy God, we thank you for this day and for your continued expressions of loving kindness with us. Lord God, I pray that you would infuse this word that I'm about to deliver, given by you. Lord, that it would be used to edify, to upbuild, but most of all to remind us of your unwavering and faithful love for each and every one of us. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. In chapter 8 in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is preparing the Israelites for their entry into the promised land, the land that was promised to them by God, by reminding them of their history and how far they have come since leaving Egypt. According to the commentator Patrick Miller, the book of Deuteronomy is always aimed at the next generation. It takes the present generation back to the past and brings the past afresh into the present. The Israelites were now standing at the threshold of their future, the fulfillment of the covenant promise of God that had been made to their ancestors. And Moses admonishes them to diligently observe all the commandments of God so that they may live and increase and go in and occupy the land. Thomas McCominsky notes that the function of the law was not to grant the inheritance, but to preserve and protect the people for the inheritance. And it did this by providing the wisdom and understanding that was necessary for them to remain a strong and viable community that would continue to enjoy the prospect of the inheritance. It is of importance for us to note today that the Israelites to whom Moses were speaking, the ones who were about to go into the land of promise, they were a new generation. They were not the people who had lived in servitude or were being treated harshly in Egypt, nor had they experienced the initial scarcity and bitterness of water and the lack of food while in the wilderness. This generation had only known the wilderness life. They had only known the provision of sustenance by their God while there. This lifestyle was their norm. However, I would surmise that they had heard the stories that had been handed down from generation to generation of how the Lord had freed their ancestors from the cruel grip of the Egyptians, how they were freed from bondage after the plagues that had been sent by God, how the Lord parted the Red Sea for them to cross over on dry land, and how after experiencing thirst and hunger in the wilderness, the Lord provided water and food for nourishment. Like most generations, as they became further removed from the history of their people, this generation of Israelites didn't have an appreciation or real understanding of what their ancestors had experienced or lived through. The same point can be made today. Many African Americans have never known firsthand or suffered the injustice and indignity of discrimination and prejudice. The civil rights movement and the leaders of old, such as Martin Luther King Jr., Mary McLeod Bethune, Ruby Bridges, Frederick Douglass, Medgar Evers, or even President John F. Kennedy, have no relevance in their lives today. Likewise, younger persons of Jewish descent have heard the stories, but have no real point of reference for the persecution that their ancestors suffered at the hand of Hitler and his evil regime. Even many children of European descent don't have an understanding of or appreciation for what their foreparents endured in order to come to the new country. They had to uproot their families to seek freedom and fortune in this new world, a world where they didn't always speak the language, where work was hard and living accommodations were sparse at best. Many have forgotten that in the past, women weren't really welcomed into institutions of higher learning, and God forbid one of them have professional aspirations other than that of education, nursing, or being an administrative assistant. That's what we call a secretary today. Most young women have been taught all of their lives that they can become anything they desire, domestic engineer to powerful CEO of a major corporation. We have all come a long way from our individual and collective past, but many of us have forgotten just how far God has brought us. As this generation stood at the threshold of their prosperous future, Moses reminds them that God had promised the land to their ancestors, and it was important that they remember not to forget what God had done, as well as what was expected of them. Moses wanted them to understand the love that God has for them, and that God could be trusted to keep them, provide for them, and that the promise of God made to their ancestors would be made manifest through them. Moses wanted them to know that the years of wandering were not fruitless or without purpose, but were necessary to humble and to test them, to know what was in their hearts and whether they would follow the commands of God. Many of us have forgotten how far we as a society have come, and there are some who want to drag us kicking and screaming back to the time of those who have get more and the have-nots get even less. As we listen to the rhetoric that's coming out of Washington and off the campaign trail today, it is evident that in our country, there are some that have no clue of what it is to live without adequate housing, without food, educational, or employment opportunities. Much time is being spent about class warfare, rather than making sure that everyone has equal access, opportunity, and rights, regardless of their age, race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, or economic status. There are some who want to point the finger and blame the victim. Their attitude is, I've got mine, now you go out and get yours. They fail to remember that they were either born into their circumstances, had the inherent advantage of being born into a particular race, or that someone reached back and brought them along. None of us have gotten to where we are in life without standing on the shoulders of those who came before us. None of us have reached this stage in life without God's grace and faithfulness. None of our successes have been reached in isolation. Moses warns that the Israelites' ancestors had failed to observe the commandments of God and exhibited their faithlessness by making an idol to follow and by being afraid to enter into the land of promise as commanded by God. And as a result, they were denied entrance into the promised land. Brothers and sisters, we too have forgotten. We have forgotten and made idols of the things that God has blessed us with. We idolize our jobs and our positions, our status, so we neglect our families to get even further ahead. We idolize our possessions, so we fail to exhibit a spirit of hospitality. And we don't open our homes, let alone our hearts, to provide for the least of these. We idolize our financial status and fail to give freely that others may be blessed with the basics in life. We too have failed to be faithful to God's command to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and might, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But thanks be to God, God is faithful. And just as God provided manna and water, clothing and protection to the Israelites wandering through the wilderness, God continues to provide for us today. It was imperative for the Israelites and for us to understand that God's provision of bread was but one aspect of God's grace, and it was not the only thing on which they or we should focus, but that life in its fullest sense comes not from mere food, but from obedience to God's will. It has been often said that those who fail to remember the past are bound to repeat it. Moses warns the Israelites that once they enter in and settle in the land of promise, and once they've eaten their fill and built and lived in fine houses, once their herds and flocks, silver and gold, and all that they have has been multiplied, they are to remember not to forget the Lord their God or fail to keep God's ordinances and statutes. Moses warns that they may very well begin to think that they're responsible for their current state of living and forget that it was God who brought them out of Egypt, provided for them in the wilderness, fought their battles with the inhabitants of the land, promised and led them into the land of promise. Moses warns them, do not exalt yourself thinking that you are responsible for your great fortune. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hands have gotten me this wealth. As our years go by and we become further removed from our wilderness places, you know, those places, those desolate places in our lives and the lives of our ancestors, we too run the risk of forgetting from and where God has brought us. We forget how God has graciously provided for us, cared for us, comforted us, put hedges of protection around us, and brought us over and through insurmountable obstacles. We too begin to delude ourselves and think that we are the designers of our destiny and the captains of our own ships. Moses' words of admonition are just as, if not more so, relevant today. No matter how much any of us accomplish in life, no matter what we acquire, no matter how important we become or the circles of influence in which we travel, none of it was acquired in and of our own strength. It was only by God's grace, mercy, faithfulness, and love for us that those things, God is responsible for our success. None of us are so good that we are deserving of God's gracious protection, and most of us fail on a regular basis to follow the commands of God. Moses warns against developing the pride and self-reliance that material blessings can induce. These traits would signal that the Israelites had forgotten the lessons of their past, as well as the giver who granted the blessings. Moses clearly communicates to the Israelites what would be the result of their forgetting the Lord their God, and following after other gods. Surely they will perish. Moses warns, do not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested God at Massa. You must diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and God's decrees and statutes. God's tests, brothers and sisters, are sent to prove us, to show us what is in the recesses of our hearts, to illustrate whether we have reached spiritual maturity, and to demonstrate whether we will exhibit unwavering faith in God no matter what the circumstance, and whether we put our faith into action by reaching beyond ourselves and exhibiting some grace and mercy to the least, the lost, and the left behind. In spite of the fact that we often fail the test put before us, God's promises still come to fruition. Deuteronomy 7 clearly notes, "If you heed these ordinances by diligently observing them, the Lord your God will maintain you, will maintain with you the covenant loyalty that God swore to your ancestors. God will love you, bless you, and multiply you. God will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock, in the land that God swore to your ancestors to give you." Matt Kaminsky states, "The sovereign promise is the guarantee of Israel's destiny and ours. The law, according to Deuteronomy, was a benign institution given to facilitate the perpetuation of the promise for the individual and the nation." In Deuteronomy 8, Moses reminds this generation to remember not to forget who Israel's faithful and sovereign God is, the one who showed steadfast love, the one who gave unending provision, the one who perpetuated continual protection, and the one who would keep and fulfill the covenant promise to their ancestors through the current generation. And we too would do well to remember not to forget the God who raised up leaders to show us a more excellent way to love and respect all of God's children, regardless of age, sex, gender, sexual orientation, color, ethnicity, economic, or educational status. We too would do well to remember not to forget the God who with all things are possible, even when situations seem insurmountable or incomprehensible. We too would do well to remember not to forget the God who comforts broken hearts, reconciles damaged and toxic relationships, and heals emotional, physical, and mental illness. We too would do well to remember not to forget the God who loves us so much that the only begotten Son was given so that we can experience life and life abundantly and eternally. Beloved of God, lest we forget Gethsemane, lest we forget Christ's agony, lest we forget God's love for each and every one of us. My prayer is that God would lead us back to Calvary. Remember not to forget. Remember not to forget the Lord our God. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord our God, you know who we are, people with good and bad consciences, satisfied and dissatisfied, sure and unsure people, Christians out of conviction and Christians out of habit, believers, half believers, and unbelievers. You know where we come from our circle of relatives, friends, acquaintances, or from great loneliness, from lives of quiet leisure, or from all manner of distress. from ordered, tense, or destroyed family relationships, from the inner circle, or from the fringes of the Christian community. Here we all are before you, in all our inequality in this, but we are all in the wrong before you and among each other. Equal, all must die someday. We all would be lost without your grace. But also to all of us, your grace is promised. All of us. Through your beloved, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Because we trust in him, we still have hope for us and for our world, even as we face so many frightful dangers. And so we pray for it. Lord, give all who rule, all who carry responsibility for public opinion, the new wisdom, the new patience, and the courage that are needed today. That there might be bread and freedom and justice for all in your good world. And we ask that whatever is done in our city and our churches and in our schools might not happen without your blessing for the true well-being of all. We pray for all those who are hungry, Lord, 150 million in this country alone. We pray for those who are aging alone, for those who are ill in body and mind. Lord, we have heard your word proclaimed, and so today we thank you for Moses and for Martin Luther King Jr. They lived out of your grace. They were fueled by your love. They knew your forgiveness. And they were able to face evil and overcome it with nonviolence and love. Finally, Lord, we bring before you all our dear ones, both near and far away, and especially today, Randy and his family, that you might hold your hand graciously over all our lives and death. Lord, have mercy on us. Your name be praised. And now let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.